Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Glacken Monday Morning Motivational Call. This is Laureen Andy, Senior Coordinator from New Jersey, and I'm super excited to be on this call today. As I just mentioned, we just came off a weekend with the Underwoods and with Eli Bremer. It was just outstanding, and it's just a testament to, you know, knowing that we're in the right place with the right people, with the right company, with the most amazing products. So it's super, super inspiring. So today we're going to talk about, just bear with me, I just lost my whole little agenda here. Hold on. We're going to be talking about negative self-talk. We'll take a few minutes to talk about that. And we're also going to talk about the strategy for building deep. Okay? And I thought I would just take a moment to just give a little excerpt on the effects of negative self-talk. And everyone on this call participated in the book club that Jennifer did with Mel Robbins' 5-Second Rule. And it was discussed in that book. And the thing that's helping me around the negative self-talk is knowing that it's something that our brain does, that we're not necessarily totally responsible for it, but we are responsible for seeing how we can tame those thoughts down. So I just wanted to read something to you that I found very interesting for a moment. We all have an inner critic. At times, this little voice can actually be helpful and keep us motivated towards goals. Like when this critic reminds us that what we're about to eat isn't healthy or what we're about to do may not be wise. However, this little voice can often be more harmful than helpful, particularly when it gets into the realm of excessive negativity. This is known as negative self-talk, and it can really bring us down. It comes in many forms. It also creates significant stress, not only to us, but to those around us, if we're not careful. Here's what you need to know about negative self-talk and its effects on your body, your mind, your life, and your loved ones. What is negative self-talk? Negative self-talk can take many forms. It can sound grounded. I'm not good at this, so I should avoid attempting it for my own personal safety, for example. Or it could sound downright mean. I can never do anything right. It may take on the feel of being realistic, appraisal of a situation. I got a C on that test. I guess I'm not good at math. Only to devolve into a fear-based fantasy. I'll probably fail this class and never be able to do good in college. The musings of your negative self-talk or inner critic may sound a lot like a critical parent or friend from your past. It can follow the path of typical cognitive distortions, catastrophizing, blaming, and then on and on. Basically, negative self-talk is an inner dialogue you have with yourself that may be limiting your ability to believe in yourself and your own abilities and reach your potential. It is any thought that diminishes you and your ability to make positive changes in your life or your confidence in your ability to do so. Because of this, negative self-talk can not only be stressful, but it can really stunt your success. I just want to take another moment to just give you some thoughts on how to minimize self-talk, and then I'd like to hear from everybody some of the things that you might be doing that are working around this topic. So how to minimize negative self-talk. There are different ways to reduce the self-talk in your daily life. Catch your critic. Learn to notice when you're being self-critical so you can begin to stop. For example, notice when you say things to yourself that you wouldn't say to a good friend or child. I think that's so powerful. That really stood out to me, by the way. Remember that thoughts and feelings aren't always reality. Thinking negative things about yourself may feel like astute observations, but your thoughts and feelings about yourself can definitely not be considered accurate information. Your thoughts can be skewed like everyone else's, subject to biases and the influence of your mood. Give your inner critic a nickname. I love this. There was once a Saturday Night Live character known as Debbie Downer. She would find a negative in any situation. If your inner critic has the dubious skill as well, you can tell yourself Debbie Downer is doing her thing. When you think of your inner critic as a force outside of yourself and even give it a goofy nickname, It's not only more easy to realize that you don't have to agree, but it becomes less threatening and more easy to see how ridiculous some of your critical thoughts can be. The last excerpt on this, which I thought was very powerful too, contain your negativity. If you find yourself engaging in negative self-talk, it helps to contain the damage that a critical inner voice can cause by only allowing it to criticize certain things in your life. When engaging in negative self-talk, you may be able to catch yourself, but it sometimes is more difficult to force yourself to stop a train of thought in its tracks. It's often far easier to change the intensity of your language. I can't stand this becomes, this is challenging. I hate becomes, I don't like. And even, I don't prefer, when your self-talk uses more gentle language, much of its negative power is muted as well. I thought that was so powerful. And this weekend, they talked a little bit about affirmations. And one of the things I want to say about negative self-talk that I didn't understand for a very long time is that although we all have this going on, that when we use affirmations and we start to talk to ourselves more positively, the subconscious actually picks that up and things start to change up there. And for a long time, I never really understood that, but more and more as I study it, and of course after the book club last week, things started to come together for me, and I'm working on these exercises or exercising this muscle in my mind to minimize that self-talk. So I just want to hear from the group a little bit. How is negative, where are you at with your negative self-talk? Is it impacting you in a negative way? What are you doing that may be working to change the impact of what's going on with the negative self-talk in our heads? I know for myself, I don't even like to talk about negative self-talk, but it is helping me to look the gift horse in the eye. Does anybody have any comments? Yes.
This is Denise Gaskell. Good morning. Good morning. I appreciate the conversation. It's definitely an area that would benefit me to spend some more time in. I do have a story to share. That was one of my eye-openers about this situation. About what happens with all of us, and sometimes unbeknownst to us, or most of the time even. But my last name is Gaskell through my husband, and we've been married a long time, and his father is still alive. He just turned 90, and they have a saying in their family, and when something just doesn't go right, doesn't matter if it's a car issue or just doesn't even matter what it could be, their saying is, oh, that's the Gaskell tradition. And so, you know, unbeknownst to me, you just kind of laugh at it and think, oh, whatever, that's your last name now. That's just kind of comes with the territory. But believe it or not, I realized how damaging that thought process can be. When my daughter was in high school, she had an opportunity to join an organization where if you wore your seatbelt and they caught you driving safely in and out of school and around town, you'd rack up points for that and be put in a drawing so that you could potentially go to an event and your name would be pulled from a group of other students who were also driving well and possibly win a car. And it's far-fetched, right? and we got the invitation. My daughter was actually chosen as one of the drivers to head to this big arena in our city, and amongst all these other schools, they were going to give away, I think, 5 cars. And so when I was so excited. I thought the opportunity is fantastic. I couldn't believe it. First of all, that my daughter was drawn and that, you know, she had the opportunity. And my husband, when I shared it with him, he looked at me and he said, she's never going to win that. And I said, why? And he said, her last name's Gaskell. That's our tradition. We don't have any luck. And it was so heartbreaking. I remember feeling that heartbreak, and I just thought to myself, the little things along the way that we've said to our children that we thought were funny, or that I, you know, even took on be married in the family. And then, so we get to the event, and she has a girlfriend with her, and her girlfriend says to her, "Danielle, I just have this great feeling that you're going to win this car. I don't know what it is, but I just think you're going to pick the key." So Danielle, sure enough, to make a long story short, digs in a bucket of all these keys, pulls out a key, and puts it in the ignition, and the car starts, and won the car.
Wow.
But my husband didn't even want to go because there was going to be so many people there, and it was just so far-fetched, plus our last name was Gaskell. So it's just a really powerful testament to remember that, you know, our negative self-talk can really actually carry on into our children, and just to be wise and watch our words, not only to ourselves, but to our family as well.
Denise, thank you so much for sharing that. That's very, very powerful. And what you just mentioned about being careful with our words, your girlfriend, when she said, I have a feeling you're going to win that car, she put it out there. And I have to be honest with you. I've struggled with that piece that what you profess you bring into your life, because I'm like, how could it be that simple? But it really is. And I'm really starting to embrace that vision. And your story is a testament to the fact that that is actually true. I mean, I'm not certain that it happens every time we ask for things, right? Or we're looking to accomplish anything, but it certainly gives credence to the power of the words, as you just mentioned, and really changing the dynamics of what we put out there and what we speak. And I love this piece about, don't say anything to yourself that you wouldn't say to a good friend or a child. How powerful is that, right? If we could just stop doing that. So thank you so much for sharing that story. It's a testament to the power of vision.
And you're right. It's probably a whole lot of luck, but if it were up to my husband, we would have never even went. And so that's the piece that was the most powerful to me, is that, you know, he was so stuck in the fact that, you know, because his last name has never brought him much luck. And obviously that is not true at all. When we sit down and count our blessings, we have many. But those little things that go wrong, you know, it's part of life.
Very powerful.
I can't blame it on one thing, yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing. Does anybody else in the group have a story or comment or, you know, really having any serious issues with negative self-talk that you want to share or talk about?
Lorraine, can you hear me?
Yes.
Lorraine, can you hear me?
Yes.
This is Linda Courtney.
Hey, Courtney.
Hi, it's Linda. Courtney's my last name. And
Linda.
Actually,
okay,
it's a pretty lucky name.
awesome.
I loved what you said about not saying anything to yourself that you wouldn't say to a child or a good friend. That is so good, because we affirm our kids all the time, and I need to apply that. The other thing, the third thing, contain it and frame it.
Yep.
I have a negative bent. I was an editor by training and trade, and we are trained to pick out wrong things. You know, I read a paragraph and I'll find the typo, I'll find the grammatical error. And one thing that has really kind of helped about training that, and I just realized it, is that we really apply humor to a lot of our negative thinking. And I was thinking about early on during the Persian Gulf Wars, when we were watching the news and our kids were saying, they were talking about how it was 120 degrees and the soldiers were carrying these 50-pound, 80-pound backpacks, and they were just, you know, dying from the heat. And we had just had a spate of really awful luck with our travel. And my kids said, "Hey, Mom, just think, if we were there, it'd be raining." So it's not, you're right, negative thinking is in there, and it just is something for us to use. Like you said, when I say I can't, I should turn that into this is challenging. Or if I see something bad happen to somebody, I use that to be compassionate or to come up with a solution. So this is really helpful.
I'm so happy. Thank you for sharing that. Again, another testament to really what's going on in all of our heads. And, you know, one thing I want to share with everybody this morning now, which is really, really helping me, when I'm with prospects or even a customer, I'm starting to really connect with people. And, you know, I'm not sharing, you know, blatant. Of course, we're talking about the business, we're talking about the product, but I'm also really understanding that these people that are sitting across from me are having similar thoughts. And I could gear my conversation in a way, you know, without them even knowing it, for us to have more positive, you know, conversation and things that are going on in our minds. And I think one example for me is, you know, I came into the business really with a nightmare. But now I have to be sharing what is coming out of that, right? So instead of focusing on that piece, which is very pertinent story, it's my story, but I don't want to focus that on with the people. I want to focus on, hey, this is where we're at now, right? So it's this topic of negative self-talk is helping me to understand or try to understand the people that I'm sitting with, you know, because I know I can acknowledge now that this is going on in their heads too. So I think bringing it to light is so powerful. Does anybody have any last comments or concerns or stories around what's happening in their life with negative self-talk before we go on to building depth? Okay, great. By the way, thank you for everybody for participating, you know, on this topic. I think it's one that is a never-ending topic, and I so appreciate hearing the stories of, you know, what comes out of when we do start to make those mental changes or behavioral changes and start to have some new results. So thank you for that. So we're going to talk a little bit about building deep. And I was really excited to talk about this topic because I learned, I'm no stranger to network marketing, and I had some very, very, very good teachers years and years and years ago on the power of building depth. And I want to first ask everybody, you know, if you have any specific questions about it, and then I'd like to just set up a framework with you on how I build depth to see if it can help in any way. Does anybody feel afraid of building depth, or is it something that you're doing and you're having success with? Is there confusion around really what that looks like on a daily and weekly and monthly basis?
Lorraine, this is Linda again. We would like to know what... what our role is with people who are now under a director that has broken out and we still feel an affinity for, and how far does that go? I guess I'm asking, what is your relationship with people you've built in depth and they've moved on? I don't know if I'm asking that.
It's a great question. It's an excellent question, by the way. And the question sets up the foundation, really, for what it looks like every single day. So thank you for the question. So basically, the affinity or the patterning of building a depth, whether it's a new person or a director that breaks out, never stops. So the idea is, and I'm going to try to give you guys a visual, and then, of course, if you have any questions, you let me know, okay? So what I learned many years ago, and of course Carrie, and we're teaching it in the Shackley business too, but it was something that I think early on I was exposed to some people that really knew what they were doing with it. So what I do is, I label my legs A, B, C, D, whatever it is. Okay, it doesn't mean A is better than B or C is better than D. I name them A, B, C, and D, right? And what I do is, so let's say you sponsored somebody and her name is Susan and she goes director, right? And you and Susan have a relationship. And what you're going to do with Susan, as she's building her business and she's sponsoring more people and people are getting sponsored under people, you're going to collaborate with Susan and say, Susan, who is your most excited person in your business? Susan may have more than one leg, so you may say to her, Susan, who, and again, you can label it however you want. That's how I label it, right? So, you know, you have three legs. Let's say it's A, B, and C. Who's the most excited in your A leg? Who's the most excited in your B leg? Who's the most excited in your C leg, right? And then you simply say to her, I'd like to get to know that person a little bit and see how I can help her. That's one way you could do it. The other way is you could set up a meeting and say to Susan, I'm having a meeting. Let's invite your most excited person from your A leg, most excited person from your B leg, most excited person from your C leg. So you guys can, you as the upline, you can be working three legs at one time. So the idea is to never, ever give up on getting to know the deepest, most excited person in the group, right? So what happens is as you guys get to meet that person, and you start building that relationship, what happens is when you start helping that person sponsor, the excitement travels from the bottom up. Even if you have three or four people in that leg that are doing nothing, when all of a sudden they see a 200-point order go through, everybody starts to perk up a little bit. Right? So, and I make it a habit, every time someone get sponsored. Of course, you're not going to know down the road as your business gets bigger and bigger and bigger, but if you set this foundation with your team and you teach them to make sure that they're collaborating and with their directors on who is excited, who wants to build this business, and then you set forth to get to meet with that person and spend some time with that person, and what that shows that distributor is how the team collaborates together to help her. So it's not just one person in her up team that is helping her. I don't know if that answered your question. Do you have any questions around that?
That is wonderful. Thank you.
You're welcome. By the way, the other precedent I set with people, this weekend we had a new couple at the Orlando event, and I made it, you know, of course they didn't know I was doing this, but I said, you know, Roger and Esther, please don't feel if you want to call Jennifer directly or you want to speak to Tony and Debbie directly, you're not doing anything wrong. These are your up team, they're your business partners just as I am. Wherever the shoe fits, it fits. So I let them know right up front that they have access. Any other questions on strategizing and building depth? Or any successes? Is anybody utilizing a particular protocol, you know, to get, when you sponsor somebody, get down to that next person, get down to that next person, get down to that next person? And just so you all know, and I think this is a great visual, we're all familiar with the law of large numbers. So it is, in fact, a truth that, and this has nothing to do with me or the price of tea in China, I always say to people. But say you have Susan, and Susan sponsors Nancy, and Nancy sponsors John, and John sponsors Peter, right? It's the fact that the law of large numbers indicates that if you drive a leg 20 deep, you will find a leader.
You may find it in the first person. You may find it in the 15th sponsor. But somewhere in that, driving that leg 20 deep, you will find a leader. And that's who you, as a leader, locked arms with. Any questions, comments? Is anybody having some success around any particular protocol on how they're building depth?
This is Jay. Since you were talking about it being a visual, I was picturing 20 deep and realizing that the only way that that is really workable is if you do exactly what you say must be done in terms of all the way down the line, this communication of accessibility and the expectation of accessibility, because all it takes is a break in the link, you might say, and then you can't get 20 deep.
Very powerful. Jim, right? Jim?
Jay.
Jay, I'm so sorry. Very powerful, Jay. And I think what you just described is a great visual, and you're 100% right. If we're not making sure that we are welcoming the newest, deepest person, all that energy and work as we're trying to go down, life happens with people. So we want to make sure that we're supporting them in the best way possible, because there are going to be times, depending on what people's circumstances are, you know, hopefully nothing serious, that they may not be able to show up. So we want people to know that there's a safety net there, and there's people that they can go to, and their dream and their vision is not lost. And, you know, one of the things that Jennifer, of course, she's always an impeccable example of how to build depth and how to build the relationships with people. But on her last trip to New Jersey, there was a young man just as bright-eyed and bushy-tailed as you can ever imagine. He's a bank manager, 3 kids, college, the whole 9 yards going on. And Jennifer found out by having a conversation with him, and he was a few in deep, that he had been involved in network marketing but was never successful. And Jennifer's coaching to me was, Lore, we do everything in our power to stack up the best possible foundation for his success that we can possibly do. We can't do more than, you know, I mean, he's got to match our efforts, but we want to show him that he can be successful if he puts in the energy. So thank you so much for that visual. I think that's very, very powerful. Now, it's just going on 9 o'clock in some parts of the country. It's 10 o'clock here in New Jersey. So does anybody have any last-minute questions or things that... any questions or concerns or anything that they want to ask before we close out this morning?
Okay, I'm going through a work thing.
Good morning. Did you have a question before we sign off today? Okay, everyone. I want to thank you so much for hopping on the call this morning. Jennifer does such an amazing job of creating this space for all of us to learn and grow. And obviously, both these two topics are very, very big topics. And you know, all the ins and outs of getting it all covered, it doesn't happen in a half hour. But I hope that I was some help to everybody. And if you have any questions or anything and you want to reach out to me privately, please feel free to do so. And I appreciate everybody's time, and I hope you have an amazing Shackley day. Take care, everybody.
Thank you.
You're welcome.